This news story was written by Allison Salerno. Highlands, North Carolina was spared by Hurricane Helene. Tourists still aren't coming. Towns in far southwestern North Carolina survived the storm, but warnings that people avoid the region have kept away visitors essential to their survival. Highlands, North Carolina. Nat King Cole tunes were playing in the empty lobby of the Highlands Inn, built in 1880, which should have been busy with tourists. Rebecca Ivy, 40, was behind the reception desk fielding phone calls, including cancellations. The town had cleaned up and reopened a few days after Helene's strong winds and thunderous rains swept through in late September, but normal had not yet returned. "Last week was dead," she said, even though it was among the year's most critical weeks for Highlands businesses. "Maybe business would pick up for the coming weekend," she said. "Still, we're not full." Elsewhere on Main Street, Nicole Chastain, 45, and the general manager of Bear Mountain Outfitters lamented, "This is supposed to be our busiest time of the year." She estimated that sales in her shop had dropped at least 50% since the roads were cleared and power restored downtown. Highlands is 85 miles to the southwest and a nearly two-hour drive from Asheville and the brunt of Helene's damage. The day Helene roared into western North Carolina, Governor Roy Cooper, Democrat, urged people to stay away. Residents faced landslides, flash floods, and other life-threatening dangers, he said in a statement. "For western North Carolina, do not travel unless there is an emergency," it said. The state's map of passable roads showed the entire region in red for essential travel only. That messaging was necessary at the time, observers said, but communications did not keep up with improving conditions or draw a distinction between the far southwestern counties of North Carolina, including places like Highlands where damage was much less significant and recovery more rapid. Last week, the state updated its transportation map, putting counties like Macon, which includes Highlands, in the green zone. But visitors have not updated their expectations, cutting into the town's economies in the most important time of the year financially. That has meant that even towns without significant damage are also suffering. "It was the storm after the storm," said Michi Canales, who handles communications for Visit Smokies, a nonprofit regional tourism promotion group. Labeling the sparsely populated westernmost counties as closed was not fair for the mom and pops in small mountain towns where tourism is often the sole source of jobs, she said. Family-owned businesses that reopened to tourists, some as early as a few days after Helene, don't have the luxury of getting to close down for a year or several months and be fine because they have that corporate backing, Canales said. If these businesses don't get business, they're going down. Even though the state updated its roadmap on its Drive and See website, Visit Smokies was so concerned about the decline in visitors that it erected a red billboard in Clayton, Georgia, which motorists drive through to get to the Smokies. "Visitors needed," it reads in bold white lettering against a red background with a list of 11 western North Carolina towns, Canales said. More billboards listing more open towns will be added in the coming weeks, she said. Stops by motorists to the Smoky Mountain Visitor Center just over the Georgia state line in Franklin, North Carolina, are dramatically down. From about 6,000 people in the first 2 weeks of October last year to about 800 this year. "So they're saying, we're going to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, because we heard it's closed over here. Don't worry, we won't stop," Canales said. "We're saying, no, 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 no." Among the towns on the billboard is Highlands. At 4,118 feet above sea level, it is one of the highest towns east of the Mississippi River, with a full-time population of about 1,100. For the past century, its relatively cool summer temperatures have drawn wealthy southerners, particularly from Atlanta, 130 miles to the southwest. The town sits on a plateau in the Nantahala National Forest, and tourists come for shopping and mountain vistas. About a mile out of town just before dawn last week, the easy trail to Sunrise Rock, a local attraction that usually draws tourists, was empty, except for the calls of blue jays, crows, and sharp-shinned hawks. The smell of a campfire filled the air, along with the distant whir of traffic. Nearby, the short hike to Sunset Rock gave a glimpse of downtown Highlands, with layer upon layer of mountains in the horizon. Downtown, at Black Bear Breakfast and Lunch along Main Street, Daniel Figueroa, 20, was behind the cash register of his mother's business, ringing up customers' breakfast tabs. The family has lived in Highlands for 8 years. Figueroa said business is slower than usual because people are worried about road conditions. "People aren't sure if it's safe," he said. "They are calling to make sure they can get through." Retirees Gary and Pamela Tipton of Spartanburg, South Carolina, were finishing up breakfast. Waffles with grits, eggs and bacon for him, French toast for her. At home, where they have a whole house generator, they'd been helping neighbors who lost power, cooking them biscuits, letting them take hot showers, storing medicines, and letting them charge heart monitors and hearing aids. They were staying at a Highlands resort with reservations they'd booked 2 months ago. "There does not appear to be a lot of people there," Gary Tipton, 73, said. At Elevation, a women's clothing boutique where the least expensive jeans are $109 a pair, salesperson Catherine Williamson, 66, said business, reliant on women from Atlanta on day trips, was slower than usual. Cappy Farrell's daughter, Mary McRae, 15, bought a deeply discounted blouse for $15. Farrell, 46, said her family, which includes her husband and two daughters, had booked a long weekend visit to Highlands 3 months ago. They drove 4.5 hours from Homewood, a suburb of Birmingham, Alabama, and brought in their van supplies for hurricane survivors, including toilet paper and baby formula. They took the supplies to a distribution site about an hour out of town before heading to Highlands. "Spending money on food and lodging in Highlands," Farrell said, "was another way to help. If we're going to spend $2,500, we'll come up and spend it here," she said. "If we help Highlands business owners, then they can help other people." Even people who live close to Highlands have called Billy Love, deputy director of the Bascom, a nonprofit arts center, to see if it's safe to drive over for the weekend wood-turning group, where members use lathes to turn wood into art. "I told them, yes, the roads are open," he said. "There's been confusion around the state." Some of those who have shown up have not been tourists, but fellow evacuees, from either Helene or Hurricane Milton, which made landfall south of Sarasota, Florida, 13 days after Helene hit the Florida coast to the north and then spiraled into the southeastern states. "We live exactly in Sarasota," said Ivy Lima, 38. They had left home at 3 a.m. Tuesday, the day before Milton made landfall. She and her husband and two young children were visiting friends in Blairsville, Georgia, who had suggested a quick visit to the Highlands area. Sophie Delaney, 33, opened One Wicker Cheese in downtown Highlands in April. The storm and the lack of customers afterward are damaging her cheese shop's prospects. She'd already lost money, she said, when all her soft cheeses went bad due to a power outage right after Helene. Business. The first 2 weeks of October was half of what she'd expected. "Today is the first day I have had more than 8 people walk through the door," she said with a sigh. "People are feeling like they shouldn't come, that they shouldn't be flaunting their privilege because other people are suffering." "October," she said, "should be paying the rent for the rest of the winter." As much as she'd like to, Delaney has not yet been able to afford to donate funds or supplies to hard-hit North Carolinians. "I need to feed my children and pay my light bill," she said. "I might get a loan to get through the winter."